Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading verse 9. "And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come," he's speaking to Moses, "come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And this morning we begin a brand new series called, Is It Worth It? Is It Worth It? Let's pray. Lord, we praise you once again for all that you're doing. We thank you for your word, the inspired word of God that we have for our lives. Speak to us today. May we be challenged, encouraged. And Lord, I pray that you will begin to stir some things in our hearts that maybe we have not even experienced before. In your name, amen. And you can be seated. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Has anyone here ever climbed Mount Everest? Like, you've summited Mount Everest. Some of you are laughing like, no. I know we've been doing some climbing here in Midland, a lot of hills here. Mount Everest is a different deal. It's the tallest and most famous mountain in the world. Everybody knows that, 29,029 feet up there. It's up there where airplanes can exist, right? That height, not so much humans. But there are certain people who make it their mission in life to summit Mount Everest. Actually, this past May in the climbing season, there were so many people trying to summit that there was a traffic jam. This is a picture from just this May, and you can see just people lined up. And because of the traffic jam, and because of the lack of organization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they know of at least 11 people that died just on the Nepali side of Mount Everest. It's a tragic, tragic climbing season. I mean, climbing Mount Everest is not a walk in the park. They say that it takes much time to build up endurance. It takes experience on other mountains. It might take you anywhere from $35,000 to $100,000 to pull this off. It takes a couple months in country there to acclimate to the altitude and to get used to what it's going to take as you work with your team and get ready to make the ascent. I've read that on the ascent up to Mount Everest, you have to get up there quickly and back down because as you're going up, because of the extreme cold and the altitude and the lack of oxygen, your body is actually dying. And so you have to summit and get back down before you're completely dead. It's not a walk in the park, it's a big deal. So why do they do it? Why do these people do that? Well, they believe, as they've weighed it, that it's worth it. It's worth it. They believe that all of the effort and all of the sacrifice and all of the money and all of the toll that it takes on a person's body is worth it in order to summit and to have that view. And then to be in a crowd like this and be able to raise your hand like, yeah, bunch of noobs, I've climbed Mount Everest. They believe it's worth it. And daily, we consider that question. Think about it. We consider that question. Is it worth it? I mean, that's how we make decisions every single day. We weigh the pros and cons and we decide, is it worth it to eat that second candy bar or not? I think it is. Is it worth $5 to get that caffeine hit? Is it worth all that hard-earned money to make that purchase? Is it worth it? We ask ourselves that question. And how it works is this. If we don't believe it's worth it, we forego the opportunity, right? We walk away. No can do. Nope, not doing that. Why? Because we don't believe that it's worth it. We could boil it down to say that the only things we even do ever are just the things that we determine are worth it. Now, it's easier, and we all know this, it's easier to just do what we've always done, isn't it? It's easy. We know how to do it. We've done it. We're confident we can do it. It's easy just to do the things that we've always done. But I want to ask you today, what if there's more? What if there is more? What if God is wanting to stir your heart for something more? What if God is wanting to push you out of your comfort zone into a different realm? What if God is wanting to call you to do something that you've never done before? What if God is stirring something in your heart that's saying, you need to make a change, you need to let go of that. Maybe you need to confess something to someone, or you need to give that sacrificial gift to someone. Or maybe you just need to say yes to whatever it is that God is speaking to you about. What if? What if God is calling you to make a change? And then we decide, is it worth it? Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 begins this account. It says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Now, many of us have heard of Moses. If you're new to your Bible, you're just now hearing about Moses. Maybe you probably have already heard about Moses. They've done some movies about him. You maybe have heard about him. And he was a man that was really chosen by God and used by God greatly. I mean, he was the one that the Lord used to lead the Israelites out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. He was the one that the Lord used to strike the water of the Red Sea. It parts. They walk across on dry ground. Later on, Moses had the opportunity to trek up a mountain. It wasn't Mount Everest, but he trekked up a mountain, and he got to spend a few weeks with God. How cool is that? But all of those incredible moments that I've just talked about actually took place in the last third of his life. And they all took place after Moses had a divine interruption. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. He led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Here's the divine interruption. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then God said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, this was just an ordinary day for Moses, until suddenly it wasn't, right? And he looks over and sees this bush that is burning, and it just keeps on burning. Like, you don't need to add any wood to the fire. It just keeps on going. And then a voice says, Moses, right out of the bush. I've read that Jewish scholars debated why God appeared to Moses out of a burning bush and not like by a lightning bolt or a tsunami or something like that. Why a burning bush? Why on the distant side of a desert? And the Jewish scholar's conclusion was this: no place is empty of God's presence, not even a bush on the far side of the desert. God is everywhere. God is everywhere, and God chose on that day to appear to a man named Moses, a shepherd who did not have it all together. And the point is this: I believe that God can show up anywhere, anytime, in any way, to anyone he chooses. Which means that today is a prime day for God to show up in your life. It's an awesome opportunity for God to shout or to whisper into your heart something that you didn't see coming. Anybody open to that? Now I wonder if just maybe God has already been stirring something in your heart. I wonder if already there's something, there's some conviction that's there about something that you're involved in, or already there's a challenge to start believing God again for that promise that he gave you. Maybe there's an idea that God's been stirring in your heart and you haven't done anything with it yet. And the question that you will then ask, the question that we all ask, if God begins to stir something in our heart, is this: is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth the cost? You weigh the pros and the cons. We all do it because it's up to us to come to that conclusion whether it is or not. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, we hear about the call that Moses received. It says, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." And the scripture that we ended with at the beginning: "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, Moses ended up answering God's call. And if you've read the scripture, you know that. And I'm so glad he did. But if you're new to the scripture, you might read this and think, well, I'm guessing Moses just jumped right in and he said, "Yes, yeah, I'm ready to make a change, God. I've heard about that stuff, that mess over there. Come on, I've already got some ideas. Let's do this, God." You might think, well, Moses jumped right in. But Moses was human, therefore he had something that most of us have. And it's this: an aversion to change. An aversion to change. And here's what we discover in this scripture. Certain things held Moses back from immediately saying yes. There were certain things that held him back from fully embracing God's call right then and right there. And we also discover that the very things that Moses was held back by could be the very things that hold us back at times when God begins to stir our heart. Things that can keep us from saying yes to God. The first one that I see from Moses, and it's something that we all deal with, is his regular routine. And we all have a routine, right? When you get up in the morning, you do this, maybe you go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, hopefully sometime in there, take a shower, eat your oatmeal, whatever you eat, and then you're getting in the car with your coffee, whatever your routine is. We are people of routine, and Moses was no different. I mean, routine can be good. We can find comfort and security in that routine. But I think, as I read this passage, that one of the things that held Moses back from immediately saying yes was his regular routine. Verse 1 said that Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, and then he took them through the wilderness all the way to the west side of that area to Mount Horeb. And I'm sure that Moses had his routine, and scripture doesn't say this, but I just have to imagine that there were certain things that Moses did every day. I could see him getting up in the morning. First thing, he's checking sports news to see what happened the last evening in whatever game that he was too tired to keep watching. And he gets up in the morning, and then he probably strapped on his steel-toed sandals and then began to make his pour-over coffee. I'm just guessing here. Pours it into that mug that the kids gave him for Christmas, you know, with their pictures on it. He's like, "Oh, this is so cute." Gets his staff in hand, and then he heads out into the wilderness for another day. And he takes the sheep throughout the morning. All he can think about is getting to that certain bush, because at that bush, that's where he sits down and has his peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day. Now, I don't know if it all took place like that, but I would say this. Moses had a routine, and that could have been his routine that day and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that for, as you read the text, 40 years. 40 years. That's 14,600 days. That's 14,600 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That is a long time of doing the same thing day after day after day. And then God shows up. God showed up on a routine day in a very unroutine way. And he called Moses to make a really unplanned career change. I mean, put his sandals on for a minute if you could. Think about this. Doing the same thing that you've done for thousands of days, and all of a sudden, God stirred something in your heart. And God began to speak to you. I mean, how do you process that? This is what I've always done. This is all that I know to do. And then all of a sudden, God's like, but there needs to be a change. There needs to be something different here. There needs to be something that shifts in your life. I mean, how do you scan that? Like, how do you deal with that? Think about Moses in that moment as he's thinking about the price tag, as he's wondering, is this going to be worth it? Think about the price tag. I mean, there's going to be major change to his way of life, major change to his place of living. Just think as he was probably processing through what he's going to say to his wife that night. Hey, honey, how was your day? And he's like, it was good. I mean, at some point, he was going to have to explain to his wife what God was calling him to do and how it was going to affect her and their kid. Because it was going to affect them in a big way. Moses, I'm sure, had his ways of doing things, his way of life, and he had to ask the question, is it worth it? Is a change in his regular routine worth it to do what God wanted him to do? I have found this, that often divine appointments and divine opportunities come outside our regular routine. And often those divine appointments and divine opportunities call us out of our regular routine. And Moses had to deal with that. The second thing I believe that was holding Moses back at first was a low view of himself. We see that in verse 11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm just a shepherd. Actually, at that point in his life, he was a really old shepherd. Really old shepherd. I just can imagine that some of his favorite sheep tattoos that he had were starting to sag. I think they were probably looking more like scary polar bears at that point. This was a really old shepherd who had a really bad past. And that's how Moses saw himself. Who am I? He saw himself as unusable. He saw himself as less than. But that's not how God saw him. See, God doesn't look at our past and determine how and what they can do in the future. No. He looked at his past. He knew his present, but he looked at what he could be in the future. And aren't you glad that God does not define you by your past? As you come in Christ into relationship with him, God has a new day, a new plan, a new future for you. Tragically, I think many people think like Moses. When God begins to stir something in our heart, who am I? Who am I to start having family devotions? Who am I to be the one to start praying with my spouse? Who am I to start building that relationship with that person? Who am I to step into that ministry? Well, God said that you are his masterpiece. And God doesn't make mistakes. And in Christ, the word says you are chosen. Chosen to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to God. I mean, chosen to influence people. He has given you the opportunity to partner with him in seeing people restored to God. He's given us, the word says, the ministry of reconciliation. He's given that to us. Like, we get to be a part of that. Not because God needs us. Are you kidding me? God doesn't need anything. But he chooses, because he loves us and he wants to use us to reach others that he loves. The last two verses in the book of James were ones that we never were able to get to in the Real Life series this past summer. But I want to read this to you. It's powerful. James says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, know this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That is what God has called us to be about. This is not some little thing. This is actually like grabbing people and rescuing them from the fires of hell. This is the ministry of reconciliation. God has called us to be Christ's ambassadors, his representatives. And we might think, well, who am I? Who am I to impact a child? Who am I to impact a person? Who am I to take that step forward? Well, here's the thing. God did a phenomenal job in creating you. And he's imparted to you as you are in Christ with his grace, this empowerment to do extraordinary things that you couldn't do on your own. And I think Moses was just missing the point when he said, who am I? He's missing the point entirely. It was never about what Moses could do. It was always about what God could do through him. That's what it was about. And at that moment, Moses missed the point. There are many of us that have a low view of ourselves. There are many of us that walk around like that. Maybe because our past, we feel like it disqualified us. Maybe because of how we look. Maybe it's because of our lack of ability, so we think or so other people have told us. And here's what I believe. I truly believe this, that a low view of yourself reveals a low view of God and what he is capable of. Because if God has said that he has created you and you are his masterpiece, and he's empowered you, you lack nothing. And at the greater view of God that we have actually builds up the view that we have of ourselves. And Moses, at that point, had a low view of himself. There's something else that held him back, and that was a lack of knowledge, or we could say a lack of revelation. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses was wondering, like, well, who are you? What is your name? I mean, God had obviously got Moses' attention, and he would have caught any of our attention if we were walking through the wilderness that day, no doubt. His attention was caught, but Moses didn't have knowledge of who God is like we do. He didn't have access. I mean, there was no Bible app. There was no Bible at that time. And now we have so much more access, so much more knowledge of who God is. We have the revelation of the Word of God. And Moses didn't have that like we do at that time. And he grew up in ancient Egypt, which was a pluralistic society. They believed in many, many, many gods. And Moses is like, well, you're not that one. You're not that. And then those gods were all useless, worthless. They couldn't do anything. But here's Moses like, well, who are you? As I go back into Egypt when there are hundreds of gods that they're worshiping, what is your name? Does that make sense? And he asks God, who are you? What is your name? And God said to him in verse 14, you'll see that I am who I am. What a statement. A statement that none of us in this place can wrap our minds around. I am who I am. He's saying that his character and his existence is determined by him and him alone. Nothing could change it. Now, even if we weren't around, God would still be infinitely loving. He would still be infinitely holy, completely omniscient, all-knowing, and eternal. I mean, nothing that we could ever do would change anything of that. God's like, I am who I am. I determine who I am, and that's who I am, and nothing and no one is going to change that. There is no other God apart from me. I am who I am. One of the things that I've been praying for you is that God would give you and me revelation of who he is. That's what Moses needed. I mean, he asked for it, and I love it, and what an encouragement. We need to ask for revelation. Moses is like, okay, burning bush, my attention is caught. Okay, who are you? He needed revelation of who God is, and God began that day to begin to reveal himself to Moses. It's powerful. But I believe that we need revelation of who God is. There's so much that we see in Scripture, but we can have hard hearts, and there's a real enemy that's coming to try to blind us and deceive us. I've been praying for young people in our church to have a revelation that Jesus is the treasure, that he's worth more than popularity, That he's worth more than the scholarship. He's worth more than the girlfriend or the boyfriend. I mean, if young people get a revelation that Jesus is the treasure worth everything, that's when young people start praying, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go to the hard places. Lord, send me where no one else will go. Revelation of the church. I'm praying that people in this congregation that are walking through suffering will get a revelation of God's power. And they'll get a revelation of God's faithfulness. I'm praying for people in this congregation that you might be somewhat nominal, meaning it's kind of surface. Like, man, yeah, you're coming to church, okay, doing this church thing, but I'm praying you'll get a revelation of the love of God, the power of God that can change your life. I'm praying that we as adults will get a revelation of God's holiness, that our choices do matter, and one day we will stand before God. God, give us revelation. Give us revelation. The next thing that I see was holding Moses back was his list of excuses. Ever been there? Chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me, God. They're not going to listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to me. Moses is saying, well, what if they don't respond well? What if it doesn't go well? What if this is a total and complete fail? What if people make fun of me? What if people laugh at me? How many times have we neglected to make a change that God is stirring in our heart because we're thinking about what could happen? The what ifs. What if I trip and fall? What if I can't follow through? What if no one believes in me? What if I don't get that opportunity? What if I mess it up? Moses went on to say, oh my Lord, he says this in verse 10 of chapter 4, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses just piling on the excuses. Basically telling God, God, you made a mistake, all right? You're powerful, but you made a mistake. I don't know if you know me very well, but I'm slow of speech, I have issues, I have problems, I have a past. Making excuses, and we're so guilty of this, I think. Where God might stir something in our heart. We say things like, well, I can't be transparent with people about my struggles because then they won't accept me. Because then they won't maybe let me do ministry. Our marriage is so difficult that I don't think that she would even respond if I put forth the effort. Friends at school or at work, they don't want to hear about the gospel. They'd never step foot in a church. And we talk ourselves out of the very things that God is stirring us to be obedient in. Let me say this, excuses are made when we subtract God out of the equation. I'm talking about the God factor. Many of the things that God stirs in our heart to do in our own power, we probably can't do it. In our own power, it's probably not going to make a difference. So we make excuses, but the problem with that is that subtracting God out of this equation that God has envisioned for you and the impact that you can have in your life. It's the God factor. And as Moses weighed the pros and cons, and he thought about the change to his regular routine, he thought about his insecurities and his challenges in his life, how he saw himself, and as he weighed in all the excuses, and it's probably not going to work, it's probably going to be a fail, whoa. He came to the conclusion that it wasn't for him. And he gives God a polite refusal. Chapter 4, verse 13, Moses said, oh my Lord, please send someone else. Please send someone else. And maybe we can smile about that a little bit because we can kind of relate. If we don't think it's worth it, we don't do it. Polite refusal is just saying, God, it's not worth it. It's too hard. It's too risky. It's too pricey. It's too uncomfortable. I like that sin too much. I like doing things my way too much. It's not worth it. But I want you to know that God was not excited about Moses' polite refusal. He wasn't excited about his aversion to change. Chapter 4, we read that the Lord said to Moses, and I have to believe that this was not in a soft, kind, meek voice. I'm going to read it, but just imagine, this is God getting ticked off. Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seen or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I mean, theologically, even try to explain that one. And it says, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Moses gave a polite refusal. You have to hand it to him. He said, please, please send somebody else. Polite, very polite refusal. But can I say this? Moses was completely out of line. God Almighty had taken the time to speak to him. And there are times when God Almighty takes the time to speak to you, to stir your heart, to take that step forward, to believe him for something, to stir your heart, to make that change because that sin is too grievous in the Lord's sight. Stirring your heart to forgive someone, stirring your heart to confront someone, stirring your heart to witness to someone. This is God Almighty taking the time to speak to humans, to us, in our hearts. And we ask, is it worth it? If I could, at the end of this message, just say this, whether you believe me or not, whether you agree or not, I'm just going to say it. It's always worth it to say yes to God. Always. I've never had regret from the times of saying yes to God. It's always worth it to say yes to God, to answer God's call. And here's why. First of all, because when God stirs something in your heart, when he sparks something in your heart, there is a very legitimate reason why. There is a need. And we see this need as we read even in Exodus 2 for Moses. God said, the word says, during those many days, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and they cried out for help. And this cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. The word says, and God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it says, God saw the people of Israel and he knew. He knew. He knew what they were walking through. He knew their suffering. Therefore, he went to call Moses. Whenever God calls, it's because there is a need. Whenever God stirs in your heart, it's not just because it will help you. It's because there is a need in this world. There is a need in your home, and you have to ask yourself the question when you're weighing the pros and cons of something that God's stirring your heart to do. Oh, I don't know. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You have to think beyond yourself to say, who's going to miss out if I don't do this? What blessing will that person miss out on if I remain silent or I don't give or I don't show up and visit? Who's going to miss out? Who in your home is going to miss out? Parents, who among your kids are going to miss out if you don't walk in holiness? If you don't walk in intentionality, who's going to miss out? You know, it's possible for God to miss out on receiving glory if we're not obedient. When God sparks something in your heart, there's always a legitimate need. Secondly, because it's worth it. When God sparks something in your heart, know this, you can do it through God's strength. Every time. There's no doubt. There's no limit for the believer. His divine power has given us everything that we need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When God sparks something in your heart, it's worth it because you can, through Christ, do it every time. Unlimited strength, unlimited capability. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I'm telling you, in Christ, you can do it. God answered the questions from Moses. When Moses wondered, who am I? Who am I to do this? God said, I will be with you. Case closed. Moses began to make excuses about his ability. God said, go and I will be with your mouth. Moses was making excuses about his mouth. So God's like, fine, I'm going to go with your mouth. And I'm going to teach you what to speak. When Moses surfaced doubts about how people would respond and how it would all work out, what if God said this, they will listen to your voice. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. Now, some might say, well, okay, Pastor Keith, I get that God called Moses, and God used Moses in an incredible way, and there were massive results, like over a million results. I get that, but I live in Michigan, 21st century, I've got my life, things are going pretty well. And in talking about Moses, are you being a little melodramatic to compare our lives to Moses? And I would say I think that's a legitimate question. But can we just boil it down for a moment to this? What did God call Moses to do? If you boil it down, what did God call Moses to do? God called Moses to simply obey him. Just obey him. And what is God calling you to do? Same God. He's calling you to obey him. He's not calling you to do all the things that Moses did. He's calling you to obey him, which was the same thing God was expecting from Moses. And I believe God is birthing things in our heart. I believe he's going to birth some things in our heart. It might be to get up a few minutes early to pray. It might be to change how you react to the kids when they seem to upset you. Might be to edit some of your language. It might be to start believing God again for that promise that he gave you. It might be to step out of the safety and comfortability of a routine. It might be just to make a decision that is just right in God's eyes and you know it. Whatever it might be, you and I then have to ask the question, is it worth it?
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.